Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. A good character in a play, movie, or book is good because it mirrors true life, our common human nature and experience in life. One example, the Cowardly Lion makes his first appearance in the book, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. He is the last of the companions Dorothy befriends on her way to the Emerald City, where he ambushes her, Toto, Scarecrow, and Tin Woodman. When he tries to bite Toto, Dorothy slaps him. She calls the lion a coward, and the lion admits that he is. He kind of whimpers as he does it. At least that was my version and my memory from the TV version. The Cowardly Lion joins her so that he can ask the wizard for courage, ashamed that he is not brave enough to play up to his role as the king of the beasts. Despite outward evidence that he is unreasonably fearful, the Cowardly Lion displays great bravery along the way. During the journey, he leaps across a chasm on the road of yellow brick multiple times, each time with a companion on his back, and then leaps back to get to the next one. When they come into another wide chasm, the Cowardly Lion holds off two wild animals while the Tin Woodman cuts a tall tree to cross it. As people, we have struggles on whether we will be brave people or cowards, just like the lion and the Wizard of Oz, or just like Peter in our gospel lesson this morning. This morning, I'm going to talk about the need for godly courage. But before I go any further, I want to define courage. Seems like easy enough to understand, but maybe hard to put into words. Courage is defined as an inner conviction and an action which flows from that inner conviction. It is based on the knowledge of what is right and wrong, and we get this knowledge from Holy Scripture. Courage is the commitment to do what is right despite risks to ourselves, and it is complete when we teach others to do the same. Two main reasons why we need godly courage. My first point is we need godly courage because we are sinners. In particular, due to our sin nature, cowardliness comes natural to us. While having godly courage and boldness is an act of God's grace and work within us. As Christians, we must cooperate in our sanctification with God's work in us. And it will be an arduous struggle as we go from being cowards to being Christ's faithful soldier and servant, as we just heard of in the baptismal liturgy. We hear in our gospel lesson what Peter did under the threat of danger. He folds, he gets weak knees. And he not only denies that he is a follower of Christ, he even denies knowing Jesus. In the other gospel accounts, they record that just hours earlier on Thursday evening at the Passover meal, Peter adamantly insists he is willing to go to prison and even to death. After Peter's insistence, the Gospel of Mark says that the other disciples were saying the same thing also. We see this contrast in the Gospel accounts that all the apostles, minus Judas, claimed that they would stand in faithfulness to Jesus as the Christ and suffer bodily harm if it came to that. But when push comes to shove, the moment Jesus is arrested, all the apostles except for John flee. They claimed they would be courageous. In reality, they fled like cowards. We must come to terms that we are no different. we are threatened with bodily harm or execution, our default reaction to danger is that we will do whatever we can to preserve our lives, even if that means denying our very core values and beliefs. So we must see that courage is a divine gift of God's grace to us in order that we may live in faithfulness to God, even when our personal safety is in jeopardy. 1 John 4:18 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love." Courage then comes from a knowledge of God's love. Love for God is a gift from God leading us to a right ordered existence, turning away from sin and turning toward God in obedience to his moral will. Mark chapter 15, verse 43 speaks of Joseph of Arimathea gathering up courage to ask Pilate for the body of Jesus in order to bury him. It's important as we reflect on this gift of godly courage, when we are tempted to be more concerned for our safety than God's will, that we say a quick prayer to God and ask him to help us to gather up godly courage to do what is right. It's easy to talk about courage on paper or before the danger happens. It's another thing altogether to gather up courage in the moment. Going back to Peter's denial of Christ, Peter had been forewarned by the Lord that he would deny him. And the Lord further had urged Peter, James, and John to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane that they enter not into temptation. It seems apparently obvious that Peter, James, and John were dull to our Lord's warning and admonition. We also cannot stand in our own strength when facing persecution. We need the Lord's help and strength. We need to be honest that our inclination is to be a coward and not courageous. Left to our own devices, we will mimic the cowardly lion and Peter. Let us take note that while John records an abbreviated account of Peter's denial, when we look at the parallel accounts of Peter in the other Gospels, Peter denies Christ not once, not twice, but three times. His denials include the lie that he was not a follower of Christ, and further, he didn't even know of Jesus of Nazareth. And in his third denial, he calls down an oath that he's swearing to tell the truth. And then the rooster crows. After the rooster crows, Peter immediately remembers the Lord's word about his denials. And Peter goes out and weeps bitterly for his failure to tell the truth about himself and his following the Lord. And so my first point is we need godly courage because we're sinners. Every single one of us is weak at the knees when it comes to being a coward or being brave, and we need the grace of God. We also need godly courage because we have resistance from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have resistance in regard to living faithfully before God from more than one angle. In the case of Peter, he felt the weight of opposition from the Jewish leaders who wanted to get rid of Jesus because of his influence and have him executed on the cross. The Jewish authorities did not have the authority to do this, but the Lord would be executed as he was judged guilty of blasphemy by the Sanhedrin, but also by the Roman governor Pilate. Rome would have to concur with the verdict of the Jewish Sanhedrin, but if they did, then the person would be executed. Peter was at least realistic about the danger he was in. This was not a case of him being a victim of his own wild imagination. No, their very lives were threatened, all the apostles. And many years later, Peter would be executed by the Roman authorities because of his allegiance to Jesus Christ. Even as Jesus predicted Peter's denial, our Lord also gave Peter enormous encouragement that after he would return, strengthen your brothers. In other words, after Peter sinned in his denial of Christ, he would be forgiven, and then he was to strengthen his fellow believers. So we not only have resistance from the ungodly world of sinners, but also we have opposition from within ourselves. As I had pointed out in my first point, we are sinners. And as Christian believers, we are forgiven of our sins, but we still struggle with our sin nature until the moment we die. If from the moment of our conversion to Christ, God perfected us, we won't have to struggle to be courageous. But we are still sinners, and that means we're in the process and working hard to go from being unrighteous to righteous in our conduct. We really don't know how we will react under pressure to deny the teachings of our Christian faith. It's very important that we obediently take steps in the right direction, that whenever we have an opportunity to confess our faith in Christ, that we do so. We in this moment in time in this country are not threatened with martyrdom, but we are threatened with being looked down on as if we are weird and we're a little mushy in the head for believing the things that we do. We must be faithful to Christ in whatever context we are, in whatever degree of danger we're in. We must be faithful when the call comes to do that. Let us reflect also on this question. When in your life have you been courageous? Maybe it's hard for you to think of any concrete act of courage that we have done in our lives. Certainly, we must make a distinction between an ordinary courageous act, which any person can do, such as when a man or woman in the military is brave in the face of battle, or a fireman rescuing someone. But I'm talking about this morning Christian courage. And that's why I've focused it specifically on being faithful to Christ under threat of persecution because of our connection and loyalty to Jesus Christ. So we face the threat from others and within ourselves, but we also have resistance from the arch enemy of our souls, of God and God's people, and that is the devil. The devil is a fallen angel who is intent on doing harm to God's people. Satan's primary goal is to draw us away from loving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he does this in a variety of ways, but his primary mission is for us to not love God, to turn away from God, and to deny God as Lord, just as Peter did. So in conclusion, we need godly courage because otherwise we will act cowardly. The examples of courage and cowardice are numerous throughout Scripture, including the 10 spies in Israel who did not want the people of God to go into the promised land versus the 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, who did. The example of Peter and the other apostles who fled from danger and would later on die a martyr's death, or an example of John who was sent into exile as a confessor of Christ. And even outside of Scripture, there are godly examples of confessors and martyrs who willingly endured persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ. We must also take into account in the history of the church that many people professing Christians buckled under pressure as they were persecuted in prison or before they were executed, and they did deny their faith. And so the temptation to deny the Christian faith in order to save your life or your reputation or your job is great indeed, because self-preservation is great. That is not an excuse to justify this sin, but it is a frank acknowledgement that it is too easy, because we're sinners, to become weak in our commitment to the Lord in the face of great hardship and danger. Since the process of going from a cowardly person to a person courageously confessing Christ as Lord in the face of opposition means that we need to pray to the Lord for godly courage and obediently gather up courage to take a courageous stand for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us. We are a people who are sinful, weak, and fragile. I pray that you would cleanse and forgive us of all our sins, strengthen and guide us to do your will, so that in all things our lives may be lived as you would have us to live, without cowardice and with reverence for you alone. Show us how to live in true humility, true penitence, and true love for you. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen.